This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
Man, I'm fired up for this. We've got a lot of ground to cover, and a lot of it, of course, is related to market volatility and the coronavirus and the potential economic impacts of shutting down all the things that we do for fun.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Michelle Jones. And we also welcome Dr. Sean Burrow. And right after the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, here's your beloved host, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Yeah, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 620 right now. Well off the highs. Open like 1,100 points higher. Don't forget that we suffered a huge point loss yesterday to like 2,300 points lower yesterday. So a bit of a comeback heading into the weekend. It will be interesting to see if the markets can hang on to what they've gained so far. Now, the livestock markets tried to show a little bit of resiliency early this morning. But not so much anymore. We've got a big day to the downside going on in live cattle and lean hog futures again. Unfortunately, for those markets, we are dealing with expanded limits, and hogs are into those expanded limits as we speak. So,
on the energy side, April crude oil at $32.20, currently up 70 cents on the day. April heating oil is off just a little over a penny on the day at $1.14. And let's see, let's look at the natural gas to $1.89, up a nickel on the day in the April contract so far today. Chip.
All right. You know what? Let's start with some breaking news. Jim Wiesmeyer is on the line with us. Jim, are you there? All right. What do you got, buddy?
Last few hours, I guess, of approving, they call it CUSMA. We call it USMCA. Again, the lawmakers voted unanimously, Chip, to suspend the current session of the House of Commons, and they'll come back April 20th. But the motion included a provision that the new trade deal would be considered passed. Bottom line, it's there.
Excellent news. We've got to talk about that as we get into the free-for-all, Jim. Thank you for that update.
Sure.
That really big news right there, Davis, something that we've been waiting for a long time. I think the assumption of the markets has been all along that we would eventually get to this point. But it's good when you get there.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Get to it.
What's
in the news?
Well, citing highly unusual disruptions in Treasury financing markets, the Federal Reserve moved aggressively to ease monetary policy. The Fed said it will inject $1.5 trillion into the economy as it turned its T-bill purchasing program into full-on quantitative easing. The move is designed to increase liquidity in U.S. funding markets. Chip, I'm in deep water here.
A trillion here, a trillion there, Davis. I mean, what? I don't know if it... No, liquidity is important. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin was on CNBC this morning. I happened to catch that interview, and I think he was on the other news stations as well. I shouldn't just limit it to CNBC.
Right.
But I happened to catch it. I thought it was a fascinating conversation with Cramer on CNBC, talking about the history and the importance of providing the liquidity. It really is. It's something that will give the small business world, it'll give the small business world, including like restaurants and everything, the confidence that they need that they will be able to survive a slowdown in their economic activity.
All right. Yeah. Well, China reported its lowest infection rate since January with 8 new infections in China over the past 24 hours. The South China Morning Post reported the first case was reported on November 17, although patient zero has yet to be identified. CHIP New York City has declared a state of emergency banning events over 500 people. The NCAA has canceled March Madness and Major League Baseball has postponed opening day. Disney is closing its theme parks and Carnival Cruise is halting all operations for Princess Cruises for 60 days and actually, my daughter was at Disney World in Orlando, Florida. She just got home last night.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, I'm not going to cancel my vacation. I'm going.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Thank you.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats and the Trump administration are nearing a final agreement on legislation designed to aid Americans impacted by the coronavirus. The Senate has canceled its upcoming break, but House members are scheduled to recess at the end of this week. The U.S. Capitol and associated office buildings will be closed to the public until April 1st.
Yeah.
Experts say the U.S. and world economies look more and more as though they will slip into recession amid slowed commerce. Commercial flights, industry conferences, music festivals, and other public activities are increasingly canceled, raising the odds the record-long economic expansion will end in the coming months. And Sophie Trudeau, the wife of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada, tested positive for the coronavirus. Meanwhile, Brazil's President Bolsonaro is waiting for results after an aide was confirmed to be infected. Both men had been in Florida where they met President Trump and Vice President Pence. Trump says he has no plans to be tested or to self-quarantine. That's according to a White House statement.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a press conference at 3 o'clock Eastern time, I believe.
Okay.
This afternoon from the White House, and this has the feel to me that we are going to see some quarantine for. I shouldn't even say it. I'm not even going to say it.
I think what you're saying is tune in for this afternoon's show for updates on that. How about
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Freight rates for crude oil tankers skyrocketed this week as the breakdown of Russia's cooperation with OPEC triggered a rise in demand for seaborne transport. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Daily rates for very large crude carriers jumped nearly tenfold after both Saudi Arabia and Russia said they would increase crude production once an agreement to cut production expires next month. Chip.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Shike. Jennifer, I don't even want to talk about what's going on in the pork industry. I mean, we can talk about shutting down the show down at Houston. We could talk about all that. I feel so bad for your son.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah. Tell us what happened.
Well, we were just pulling up to the school. Actually, I just got him out of class, and I was signing him out, and I got the message that the Illinois Kids Wrestling Federation state tournament was canceled. And he made it to state this year in wrestling at Novice 100 and was looking forward to competing today in Rockford, but obviously needing to reduce the risk, it was canceled.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, unbelievable. I made the comment that I'm still going to stick with my vacation plans, okay? I am going on vacation, but I'm not going to do stupid things. I'm going to keep my distance. I'm not from people. I'm not going to go out of my way trying to find this. But boy, when the effort gets all the way to canceling state wrestling tournaments, it makes me wonder if it's. I don't know what to make of it, Jennifer. Man,
it's hard. No, it's hard.
It is. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him. Congratulations on making state, but I sure wish that he was there wrestling. Jennifer, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
You bet. You bet. That's Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. You know, the hog show down in Houston was also canceled. And then I believe Houston pulled permits to have any show down there. Free for all next.
2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy company's work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hello, Ross. Tell me a little bit about that commitment to developing new solutions.
We've become one of the best innovators in the industry because of the resources we invest to keep our R&D engine humming. On average, we spend over 10 years and nearly $280 million to develop novel seed treatment molecules. Our current new product lineup and pipeline are truly tremendous.
Thanks, Ross. We'll hear more from Ross next week, but for more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co.
Precision Planting knows you want your plants to have the most consistent emergence possible this season because delayed emergence means yield loss. In order to do that, you need to know the cause of erratic emergence. We understand this can be difficult, which is why Precision Planting has researched over 10 million individual plants across the country to determine the causes of erratic emergence. What Precision Planting learned was that in order to achieve consistent emergence, you need to clear residue, maintain depth, eliminate compaction, sense soil moisture, firm seed, and close the furrow with no evidence the planter was ever there. How do you get all these things right during the planting pass? That's what the Precision Planting Emergence System was designed for. Contact a Precision Planting dealer today to add the Precision Planting Emergence System to your planter or visit precisionplanting.com/emergence to learn more. Make 2020 a year that your fields have consistent emergence of every plant, leading to a high yield potential. Avoid the revenue loss and regret that comes with erratic emergence and instead be proud of your stands.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Weathering the Storm, a special report focusing on Mother Nature's potential impact on the 2020 growing season, is coming to Ag Day, U.S. Farm Report, and AgriTalk later this month. Brought to you by Pivot BioProven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that stay put, weather or not.
Aw, yeah.
Stackler.
Woo! Big Apple Joe.
I love it.
All right, America.
Welcome back to AgriTalk.
I'd be derelict in my duties if I didn't bring this up. Chip, try to compose yourself while I do this. Monday is the deadline for farmers to schedule an appointment with the Farm Service Agency to enroll in either ARC or PLC. As of Thursday, Chip, 1.4 million contracts had been signed for the 2019 crop year. About 89% of the expected enrollment there, that's according to FSA. So Monday's the deadline to make your appointment to get all that wrapped up.
Get in there and get it done. All right, we've already had Jim Wiesmeyer on the show with some breaking news. We've got him back for the free-for-all right now. Sean Haney from Real Agriculture and Real Ag Radio is on the line with us. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great, Chip. I'm bunkered in and just without any sports on TV, I might actually have to do some reading this weekend. I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to have to buy books. It's unbelievable.
Wife always asks me, "Could you give up sports?" And I guess we're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
Oof, cold turkey.
Grief. Michelle Jones out in Montana, past president of the Montana Grain Growers, is with us. How are you, Michelle?
I'm good. I'm pretty much in the same boat as Sean. I knew I watched a lot of sports, but I didn't realize how many until until they were suddenly all gone.
I know it. My wife and I are looking at each other last night. And we were so looking forward to the tournaments, the conference tournaments this week, and it's just gone. Gone. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
A little bit of breaking news, though, for most media is reporting that Bolsonaro has tested positive.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying that this press conference that's going to be held at 3 o'clock this afternoon at the White House, we need to pay close attention to this. And I want to talk about this more, Michelle, because I know that you've got some grave concerns over what that might mean for the government going forward. And we will get to that. But we've got a very special guest. Dr. Sean Burrow is with us. Dr. Burrow has been a health professional for 30 years. She started as a registered nurse and most recently is in education. Dr. Burrow, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Sean, lots of confusion about what this virus is, how dangerous it is. But I want to start with some advice for me. Like I said, I'm going on vacation next week. I'm going to be out in the public. What's your advice to me?
Stay home. No, I'm just kidding. You talked about that last night.
You're right.
Prevention is really the key. Washing your hands, as we should be doing with any, you know, all of the time and with any of with flu season and such. But washing hands, and again, that's for 20 seconds, and that's not just a little bit under the water. You really need to scrub. And if you can sing the happy birthday song twice, that will get you to the 20 seconds.
Okay.
So that's a big one. Covering your cough, sneezing, make sure you're using your elbow to sneeze. Put your sneeze into your elbow. And then social distancing. I think that's the biggest thing. If you can keep yourself, hunker down with your wife this next week. I think that's really important. 3 to 6 feet is what the CDC is recommending as far as space, that's social distancing. If you can get to 6 feet, I think that's great. But washing hands, I think, is probably the number one thing that you can do.
Okay, very good. You know, prevention is key. I get that. But we see some of the predictions out there that and this came from congressional sources that there are predictions out there that 70 to 150 million people are going to be infected in the United States with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge number, isn't it?
It is. That is absolutely a huge number. But I think, I think we're on the right track here, with Italy and what the issues that they've had. We can learn from that. And I think that's why, you guys are seeing your sports, all of that's being canceled or individuals aren't able to go to these sporting events because we're really trying to just really flatten that out. And what that means is we're really trying to the social distancing and canceling these events so we can – we're going to – still see the numbers, but they're going to be spread out over maybe an 8-week period. That's what I heard yesterday, an 8-week period versus getting it all in, 10 days, 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that should, lessen it at least a little bit.
Okay. And plus that way you don't overwhelm the hospitals. You don't overwhelm the medical professionals.
Absolutely. That's a huge thing because right now, our protective equipment, the hospital, yesterday I heard a hospital in New York, the emergency room, they're reusing their equipment. Mostly it's the professionals, their face masks. Usually you should change those frequently, and that's just not happening because they don't have, we haven't seen the numbers yet. So they're being very careful with that. So
God forbid that this would get into the health care professionals out there, because if it does and they can't show up for work, man, then we're
trouble.
Yeah, then we are in trouble. Everything that I've read on this, and I've read more than I ever thought that would even be available, the health professionals, the range on how dangerous this is, Sean, is crazy. It's from now is the time to panic to it's no worse than a common cold. What's the truth?
Right. Well, I think for one thing, I think it's unpredictable. I think we've never had this virus in our society before. So I think the one thing is that the mortality rate is higher than So we know that influenza just kills, on average, 12 to 60,000 Americans every year. So I think we're sitting around 20,000 right now. But what we do know is that the mortality rate is higher. You know, when you compare that to the H1N1, that mortality rate was 0.02% of individuals that had were infected actually died from that. But with this COVID-19, we're estimated between 3 and 4%. So it does have a higher mortality rate, quite a bit. So we really do need to make sure we are, you know, as prepared as possible.
Right, right. So the older population with an existing ailment is the it appears to be the highest risk. What I'm curious about is why aren't the kids getting sick, Sean?
Right. So, you know, I think that's really it's not understood yet. Again, it's because it's brand new. There are children, I know in China they did report there were some children that were infected. But for whatever reason, I don't think they really know. From the public health department, when I listened to them a couple of days ago, they mentioned that it's very important, just like with any of the illnesses, the very old or the older and the very young. We still have to make sure we're protecting them because we just don't know. And why they're not getting as sick as the older individuals, I mean, it's still a mystery at this point.
Gotcha. Jim, come in with your news here.
Okay, Bloomberg is reporting Trump is expected to declare a national emergency over the virus, Chip.
Okay, Sean, so if we do get this national emergency declared, I would imagine that that's going to free up more federal resources for local.
Yes, I would absolutely agree that I would assume that we will get more resources for our local areas. So yeah, I would, and that I think is a really good thing.
Okay.
Chip, does that mean that tests are going to be covered as well for American
that's a
citizens?
Good question. That's
that's a good question. I think that's what they're pushing for right now, is that they want testing to be free. And I know they're working on getting more tests available because it appears to be they're a little bit short right now. But I think in the next day or so, they're supposed to bring out a bunch more. So hopefully.
Yeah. Sean. Rural America, does it face any unique risks from the coronavirus?
Right. So, you know, I think the urban areas, I think are going to be hit higher just because of the more populated areas. However, you know, with the rural areas, like with any healthcare issues, they're at risk just based on the inability to actually get to the healthcare facilities if they need that. That's about all I would see based on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, any last words on this, Sean? I mean, it feels like the population is kind of losing its mind, but we need to kind of stay calm and carry on to a degree, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, I think we don't want to panic over this, but we also need to be vigilant to make sure we are doing things that we can do. Wash our hands, those types of things, social distancing. Try to stay as healthy as possible. That's going to be the key here.
Dr. Burrow, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. We really appreciate it. What you said made a lot of sense to me, a lot more sense than what I've been reading in some of the publications and hearing on some of the news networks. Thank you so much.
Excellent. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Dr. Sean Burrow. I got a feeling that we will continue to use Dr. Burrow as a source for sanity on how to react to the coronavirus out there. When we come back, we're going to kickstart this free-for-all and really get it rolling. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Jones, up next on AgriTalk.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield. The hammer of head and leaf diseases. The number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number 2 diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number two. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Some mixed trade going on in the grains right now, Brian. That's actually kind of encouraging.
Well, we did see firmer trade earlier on, but the bean and meal markets have turned lower. Soy oil's now turning lower as well. So that's the negative side of it. The positive side is the wheat market's mostly firmer, and corn futures are holding on to 1 to 2 cent gains. So we'll see where we go. The stock market, Dow is up pretty sizably today, not in comparison to what we've lost, but it's well off its high, so we need to watch that one. And probably the big news out there is that Brazil's president tested positive for coronavirus. So, you know, he'd had contact with President Trump, and I think that's probably pulled us off our morning highs in all these markets so far.
Yeah, the Dow is trading about 800 points off the highs right now, up 375 points right now. So this is... yeah, there's going to be the announcement. It looks like there's going to be an announcement this afternoon. Jim just talked about it, that President Trump is going to declare a national emergency over all of this. Livestock trade, hogs suffering big time.
Yeah, the expanded limits are 450 today, and we're seeing most of those contracts trade that level lower at the moment. Cattle market, it's under heavy pressure as well. We did have the feeders. They have expanded limits today as well. They were testing those beyond the normal limits, but they've moved a little bit off the lows at the moment. But it's a rough day in the livestock markets today.
Yeah, there is no doubt about that. I wonder if some of the pressure on the hog market isn't some concern over labor and how we're going to handle slaughter going forward. Thank you, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com. Okay, now I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Welcome back. Welcome back to AgriTalk. We're going to get this free-for-all going right after this industry spotlight. Colin Pennington is the DeKalb AgriGrow Marketing Communications Manager at Bayer Crop Science. Colin, explain the Bayer Plus Rewards Program and what that can mean to producers in 2020.
If you're a purchaser of DeKalb and AgriGrow and also purchasing Bayer Crop Protection products, you're able to earn cashback incentives $3, $5, $10 pretty quickly just by going through what you'd typically purchase. And so really looking for opportunity to pair those things together to help push those yields higher and higher and put money back in growers' pockets in whatever way they choose as we go forward.
Hey, if a producer is still considering what to plant, why should they try DeKalb and AgriGrow products?
It comes down to the exclusive genetics, both from a DeKalb and AgriGrow perspective. You know, those genetics that you're putting in the ground out of a DeKalb and Asgrow bag aren't available anywhere else from any other brand. And so really knowing that you're getting the best possible genetic lines, the best agronomic defense packages, you know, to really put it up against whatever we need to, whatever 2020 decides to throw at us, you know, certainly hope it's a little less than 2019, but just that opportunity to push the yield potential as high as we can, you know, is really a unique opportunity. And to earn those incentives through something like Bayer Plus just makes it more lucrative in the end.
DeKalb was a significant reason that producers like Drew Haynes won the NCGA's yield contest in 2019. But it's not just for corn, right? Tell us about how your products helped soybean producers in 2019.
53 Asgrow soybean yield contest winners this year, whether through their local contest with Asgrow or state soybean associations. 13 of those over 100 bushel. And we talk about that 300 bushel benchmark in corn and really kind of hundreds about that mark in soybeans, as we like to put it, in that, you know, in a year like this, especially what it did to soybeans, really cool to see that many folks going over 100 bushel and doing it with the Roundup Ready Extend crop system and getting that effective weed control that everyone needs and certainly needed this year with all the rain we had.
Thank you, Colin. That was Colin Pennington, DeKalb Asgrow Marketing Communications Manager at Bayer Crop Science. All right, let's get back to it on the free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer, Sean Haney from Real Agriculture, and Michelle Jones up in Montana. Guys, so after listening to Dr. Burrow there, Michelle, what's your take? Do you feel like what we're doing across the country makes sense?
Yeah, I think that, you know, what we're doing makes sense, aside from people stockpiling toilet paper and, you know, running through Costco right. and Sam Clubs and those sort of things. But I think that that's, you know, something that's just necessary. I mean, look what China did and some pretty extreme measures, and they really did stem the flow of their virus. Even if you don't trust the numbers coming out of China, they seem to have recovered fairly fast, whereas you can see other countries that did not take those extreme measures have not recovered as fast. And I think that, you know, it's totally different from what we're used to. It is definitely different from H1N1, and it's, you know, uncharted territory. But I think that it's a necessary precaution to take, because the alternative is that we don't do it. You know, we don't have a crystal ball. Right. We, right. you know, put lives at risk that we didn't need to.
Yeah, exactly. And Jim, I think there's a reason that we're not hearing a whole lot of news coming out of countries like Iran as it pertains to the coronavirus, because as I understand, it's hard to take what is going on in a country like Iran right now.
Well, and their healthcare system is not anywhere near what the average Western country is. But I do want to insert, Chip, this whole thing has exposed that we have not focused on some of the critical aspects of our healthcare system, and that's the testing system.
Yeah, I don't understand that. How is the?
Well, it's an avenue that
we
didn't take.
How is it that we don't have tests?
It's, you know, the experts that I've heard this week on Capitol Hill said it was the avenue we did not take, but now we're going to have to. And what the China situation has taught us, that we can no longer, you know, rely on them for the vast quantities of certain imports, especially antibiotics.
Haney, if you wanted to get tested up in Canada, could you just walk into a health clinic and be tested?
The simple answer to that is yes. They are refusing to test some people if they don't meet, like, you know, the symptoms. You just can't walk in there and say, I just want to make sure I don't have it. Okay. But if you show, you know, temperature symptoms, cough, they will test you. Some provinces like British Columbia and Ontario now have drive-in testing, they have at-home testing, where basically you call the hospital, a special hotline, and a nurse will come to your house and test you there. All tests, my understanding is all tests are free and a part of the healthcare system. Canada, a little bit differently than the U.S., Canada jumped on testing early. So I saw this morning, to get kind of a count on this, Wall Street Journal reporting early March, so let's say last week, Canada had done close to 3,000 tests, where the U.S. At that point had only done 500. So a little bit of maybe, I don't know what I don't understand personally what the issue is with lack of testing supplies, because we have not seen that in Canada. Although there are growing concerns, if the outbreak reaches that, you know, Germany-like number of 70% of people, at some point there's going to be a restriction on tests.
Yeah.
So that's more of a concern going forward. But a lot of the same, no groupings over 250 people, recommending no unnecessary travel outside the country. A lot of stuff going on like that.
Okay. All right. Jim, what the Federal Reserve has done to date, does it make sense to you?
Yes, and in fact, they just, as we speak, they accelerated their planned bond purchases, and that's a clear signal that, they're going to provide vast sums of short-term loans.
Wow. We can't even compare this to anything that we've seen in this country before, can we, Jim?
No, and that's why the uncertainty is in the marketplace. Yeah. We don't know the bottoms of these things.
Right.
There's just too much uncertainty, and of course, the people virus, the uncertainty virus on this.
Well, and then the concerns to the supply chain as well, Michelle. Legitimate concerns.
Oh yeah, there's huge legitimate concerns. Whether it's backpiling on the ports because we can't export it. We can't get it out of China because they're still, for all basic purposes, shut down. They're trying to get back online, but it's 21 days across the ocean. So, for all basic purposes, they still are shut down. And there's also, demand concerns. We haven't you've talked about it in terms of proteins, but just, even fruits and vegetables. I was thinking about that yesterday, a bunch of perishables that, we don't have the demands from sporting events or people eating out. And I mean, that's gonna put some stress on our supply chains and our demand.
The potential economic damage here, Haney, is significant.
It is. I was also yesterday working on a story about China hoarding refrigerated containers and not shipping them back. There's that.
Right.
But domestically here in North America, one of my real growing concerns is from a packing plant situation with pork and beef, what would happen? And this is a hypothetical, but it is a hypothetical growing improbability that we would have a packing plant worker that would be tested positive for the virus. That would create immense disruption and probable closures of that plant based on what we've seen in other workplace settings because of isolation procedures and protocols. Companies and governments are going to put the safety of workers above, hey, we need to get some cattle killed. That has real economic consequences for the sector.
Man, Jim, it makes me nervous even talking about that.
Yeah, for sure. And this is why the National Pork Producers Council released their statement, Jim.
Yeah. And NPPC coming out and saying that this is a very much a legitimate concern to agriculture. I mean, the last time that the hog supply overwhelmed the slaughter capacity in this country, you got to go back to 1998 to the last time that it really happened in a big way. And, around Thanksgiving of 1998, guys were loading up hogs in trailers and taking them to the slaughterhouse and saying, just take them. Because I can't afford to keep them anymore. Let's move on.
I
want to
say this
about it.
Chip, I think here's what's important though, too, at the same time on a positive side, that the companies in the packing industry, they're talking about this and they're on this. And I would think very, very optimistically that they have raised some of the, their preventative measures to do whatever possible to prevent that from happening. Like no one at this point, if you look at where we were a week ago, where we are today, nobody, I don't think, is taking this lightly anymore, or they shouldn't be.
No, that's right.
And so I think that's good in this case.
That's right. Michelle, I know that you've got some real concerns.
I think that they have to have contingency plans, like Sean said. But on the other side of agriculture, on the other side of the supply chain is, for the farmers that depend on migrant workers and H-2A programs.
Yes.
I have a friend, I checked in with him. His did land. Typically, they do fly through Europe for whatever reason. They came out of South America direct into Atlanta. So that is good for him. But there's still some concern, especially in the custom harvesting industry, which gets a lot of workers out of Europe. I don't know what commerce is going to do there, but getting them here is going to be an issue.
Crazy. It just seems surreal that we're even having the kind of conversation that we are having right now. Unbelievable. Got this from at Chris Luth 1. There's always NASCAR to watch on Sunday. The world's going to become NASCAR fans. We'll be right back. We're going to wrap it up. We got to talk about the RFS.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Planting season is fast approaching. Are you confident your depth is set correctly, or are you assuming your T-handle placement is correct? From seeing thousands of planters across the country, the folks at Precision Planting have found that even when depth setting is the same across the planter, actual planting depth can vary by up to 3/4 of an inch, leading to erratic emergence row by row. A simple block check can be done to avoid this issue. Visit planterexpert.com to find a Precision Planting dealer who can help you get smarter every season and avoid row-to-row variability.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Today we have Hugh Sandberg, Secretary Treasurer at Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board, to talk about what your dollar does to drive demand for beef. So, Hugh, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thank you for having me today. When we talk about sustainability, it's about more than protecting your land. It's about the beef checkoff, supporting good practices, so your way of life stands the test of time. Colorado State University recently found that producers who listed their BQA certification in video auctions earned a premium on average of $16.80 per head sold. And recently, we found that by continuing to improve how we take care of our land, our cattle, and overall operations, today's U.S. beef producers are producing the same amount of beef with one-third less cattle than they did four decades ago. It just goes to show when we are good stewards of the land takes care of us.
Thank you for joining us. To find out more about what Your Dollar Does for the beef industry, visit YourDollarDoes.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back. So, like, as I was saying it, NASCAR was tweeting out this. NASCAR has decided to postpone the race events at Atlanta Motor Speedway this weekend and Homestead Miami Speedway next weekend. So now we don't even have NASCAR. The Dow is about 1,000 points off the highs, and I do not like the way that this market is trading right now. It feels heavy. They shouldn't announce that there's going to be a press conference at the White House at 3 o'clock. They should have the press conference.
I agree.
Yeah, people are just going to be left wondering.
A lot of rumors. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. People are going to be left wondering about all of this. All the liquidity that we've pumped into the Treasury markets, Michelle, these interest rates are – if we're going to look for a silver lining in all of this, the interest rates are that, right?
Oh, definitely, especially for agriculture. You know, on your the second half of the show yesterday, they were talking about oil, you know, actually being money in the pockets of consumers. This is actually money in the pocket of especially farmers. You know, we've seen our operating interest rates drop. We're looking at a land acquisition of something that we lease because of the low rates. And also, we just refinanced our mortgage, and we cut 10 years and over six figures off of what it previously was at. So that is a huge, huge gain that, you know, people can possibly make, especially in agriculture where, you know, we need more cash. We need that room to breathe. And that gives us a lot of space.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
they're talking about 100 basis point drop at the next Fed meeting as a possibility that, you know.
Well, Jim, they're going to take the Fed funds rate to zero, aren't they?
Well, actually, they should. Why wait another month till the April meeting? So, you know, we're going to see. Do you do it 50 basis points meetings? If they're going to do it, get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen unprecedented moves taken by this country in the last 48 hours. I don't know why taking the Fed funds rate to 0% would shock anybody or be a surprise to anybody at this point.
No, agree. It's their other tools, Chip, that they're doing yesterday and today that will eventually, I think, be a big factor.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, Jim, give us the latest on the RFS, and will the White House appeal?
No. Unless they change again, but the White House clearly, Trump has clearly gotten the signal that if you do that, you're already tilting in a couple of states that some farm states may be at risk. So I don't think they're going to appeal.
That's good news, Michelle.
Yeah, that's definitely good news. That's not something that the Trump administration wanted to do, and it lets that ruling go forward, and so we can, you know, move forward with far less SREs and stabilize that ethanol market, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. And what about China clearing the way to receive DDGs from 88 facilities in the United States, Jim? That, boy, if we're looking for a sign that China is going to make an attempt to live up to the terms of phase one, that would be it.
That's another one, and we got another one this week on the beef side, Chip. So they are sending clear signals that they at least want to follow through in some major ways with the portions of that Phase 1 agreement.
Yeah, the bummer this week was the cancellation of some previous pork purchases by China, but I think that's a timing issue, don't you?
Brian and I talked about this, and our heads were scratching. We didn't want to touch our face, but I'll tell you, that's one of the questions we're going to be asking MPPC officials. I think we've got them on AgriTalk, Monday, Chip?
Yeah, you're going to be in for me. You and Davis will have the afternoon show on Monday, and Nick Giordano, correct?
Yes, absolutely, and he should know.
That is a score to get Nick and you together on the same show and just give you guys an opportunity to chat for a while. You guys, listen up. Don't miss that one. Do not miss that one. That's going to be a lot of fun for you guys. Okay, Haney, what else is going on?
Well, I just want to say this, Chip, is that, I think there's been a lot of skepticism and maybe rightly so early on here about, are people overreacting and what is going on? And, we even heard from the white, left-wing conspiracy from Fox for a couple of weeks. And I think we've kind of hit the point now where agriculture talks a lot about believing in science. Mm-hmm. Let's apply that to this situation as well and listen to health professionals and take the right protocols. And we're going to get through this. It's just it's a matter of whether it's weeks or months. And the more we follow the protocols, the better.
Speaking of following the protocols, I'll mention it again. I'm going to be out next week on vacation. I was planning to go visit an aunt and uncle who, of course, are elderly. But I canceled that. It's not that I'm afraid I'm going to go in there and get the virus. I'm afraid that I'm going to snag the virus and take it to them.
Yeah, doing the same with my grandma.
I'm going to follow those protocols. I think some of the advice that we got from Dr. Burrow at the start of the show, at the start of the free-for-all, I think is very prudent. And we can be prudent, but we can continue to live our lives. And I think that is the important message here, Michelle. We got to continue to function.
Oh, yeah, we definitely have to continue to function and to, go about our business. Most of us can go about our daily lives, but certainly have to protect, the loved ones and, anyone just to stop the spread of it and, prevent any further deaths or serious illness.
Yeah, and love him or hate him, the last thing that we need is a quarantined president.
Oh, certainly, or an ill president, either one. It's not good.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Haney, stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody have a great weekend.
All right. Jim, we'll talk with you again here real soon. We got to wrap up the newsletter. And Michelle, thank you so much for making time for us, buddy.
Hey, thanks for the chance again.
You bet. You bet. That is Michelle Jones up in Montana. Wow. Wow. Wow, Davis. What a show. What a conversation about things that I can't hardly even believe that we were talking about it. Come back this afternoon. We've got Matt Wygant from Futures One right here on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Protect diesel engines with premium Senex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Senex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Senex is a brand of CHS. Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.